6, but we're going to only look at 2 verses, I believe, verse 11. Yeah, please, anytime, drop those off. I spent more time in 1 Timothy 6. This is Palm Sunday, right?
Yeah.
All right, so show me your palms. All right, now show your palms up to Jesus for a moment. Welcome, worship him. Just worship him. Worship him. We rejoice. Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed are you who comes in the name of the Lord. Your miracles, your might, your glory, your beauty, your ability. Hallelujah. Hosanna. Blessed are you. Come and come in the name of the Lord. Come home. Come back. Come again. Oh. Next Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. Ah. I tell you, God gave me a message. I can't wait to hear it. It is like so good about forgiveness and the power of that sound of life in resurrection. So bring your friends, however, just going to be a glorious time. Anyway, Ephesians, 1 Timothy. What I'm teaching you today is how to go from being a Hosanna Sunday Christian and a Crucify Him Friday unbeliever to holding the good confession before Pontius Pilate and being able to carry yourself in all adversity by developing a confession of hope in the presence of God. And for 5 years, I've been teaching what God's been teaching me. Once he caught me up and called me to live from a heavenly place and to dwell in his presence and to identify my identity from my place of worship in Christ instead of my place of service on the earth, and to recognize that service is always kind of in a flux, but identity is always growing into one place, greater and greater, the sonship. And it's found in worship, it's found in union, it's found in communion, it's found in being in his presence. And over that time, I've said over and over again, God is seeking to build the confession of hope in you. And that confession of hope is what you bring when you come to God. You come through what Jesus did, then what you bring is the confession, the things you've heard him say, spoken over you. I told our new membership class, it's good, take this week and ask the Lord, Holy Spirit, remind me of the things you've said to Jesus has given to me, the things that have been promised me. And then write them down. And then take that, what you hear, and go offer it as a confession. Or a confession means to say the same thing. So to say back to God what you heard reminded to you by God, and watch the pleasure of God fill your being. And that union through his word and his promises begins to become a place of identity. Your confession of hope is Jesus' intercession over you. His intercession is your confession. Your confession is his intercession. He knows what he's interceding. We need to know what he's interceding and let it become an agreement with him. And we learn it by the Holy Spirit. And I won't tell the story. In Israel, I had this encounter. Netanyahu took me to where Jesus was tried, where he was on the Praetorium, and where the pavement, or Gabbatha, as it's called in Hebrew, all found in John 18 and 19, the crowd stood, the chief priests, and the interaction. And God started declaring, we're changing the things that are coming so that you who've learned, as you've learned to hold a confession of hope in front of me, I'm going to teach you how to hold a confession in adversity. I'm going to teach you how to hold a place where you can, when it comes time to start to change the situation, it doesn't change you. So verse 12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called, and confess the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Faith is a fight because it's a contest. It's a hold of belief that God gives us, the faith in Jesus Christ. The faith the Father rose Jesus from the dead is contested. And that's what the word fight means. It means to have a contest to an outcome, to a win. And he says, in the midst of that, what you're doing is you're laying hold of eternal life, which is the experiences we have with Jesus Christ and the Father. Because John 17:3 simply says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom he sent. Knowing is intimacy. It is all the way to intercourse. It says in the same knowing, says that, and Joseph did not know Mary until after the child was born. So they had no sexual relationships until Jesus was born of a virgin. Okay? So to know God is an intercoursing experience. It is an inter, and therefore the Word of God becomes so incredibly important because that's the seed of God. His Word in you is the sperma. It's the seed. It's the same Greek word for sperm, is seed. It's just the idea that God is implanting who he is by speaking, and we receive. And like Mary, we may not be carrying the Christ, but we are carrying Christ. And we can say to him, to God, be it done to me according to your word. And that's what we're learning. We came alive, we recalled, we heard the sound, and then we confessed, we responded to the sound. Like you teach your children or your grandkids, if you call them, you want them to say, here I am, or I'm coming, or yes, Dad, yes, Grandpa. Because you're looking for that the sound I projected to call you, you has been received and you are now coming. And that's what we're learning to do, is to continue to follow. And this confession, we confess in the presence of many witnesses. And I urge you in the sight of God who gives life to all things and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate. So in heaven, it's known as my confession of hope. In adversity and on earth, it's known as the good confession. And Jesus confessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate. Now, before we go look at that moment, go with me to Revelation chapter 1. I want to have you see something. In our in our mansions, like the song we sang during the offering that Diana sang, and I want us to sing it again as we close and connect with the Lord. It's our theme song. It can be your theme song to have a place of habitation, both God in our heart and us in his heart. And we don't understand that the place that we hold in Christ is the place that we have been given, and there's no other place but the place given in Christ. In Christ is incredibly important. Therefore, Jesus becomes a distinguishing identity mark both in heaven and earth. And you'll see it here. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness. A witness is someone who's had an experience, who was at the scene of an accident, who was at the scene of a moment, who watched inaugural, who watched this, who felt that. They were there. And through the experience, they have a testimony. There's the story they tell of what they saw, what happened, how it affected them. And so he says, this is the who bore witness to the Word of God. The Word of God is the Logos. Beautiful book you hold, or it's inside your phone. It's all good. But it is the most beautiful book that we'll ever own. It's the most important thing we'll ever learn. It is truth. It is life. It is God made flesh when Jesus showed up. He was the Logos made flesh. But also, and to the testimony of Jesus Christ. What distinguishes us from any other religion is the testimony of Jesus Christ, which is what I can share of Jesus Christ that I have experienced. What I have experienced of Jesus Christ. It doesn't have to be how you just got saved. It's how you, what was your last prayer meeting like? Your last time with the Lord. This is what I heard. This is what he said. These are the promises he's given me. That is the sum total, the logos of your experience. So John is bearing witness to the Word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ and to all the things he saw, which is the book of Revelation and that vision he had. So he says, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep these things which are written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne. I can't read that anymore without just going there and sensing the pleasure of the Father who is, who was, and is to come. Creator, God Almighty, and the seven spirits, which is the Holy Spirit, kind of like taking light, make it into a rainbow, dimensions, glowing presence. and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. What an incredible testimony given to Jesus that he is the faithful witness. What happened? Jesus, born of a virgin, lived up and grew up. At about the time he's turning 12, he's been learning the scriptures and he's coming ready for his bar mitzvah and to enter into manhood and to become a son of the law. And in his preparation and during all of this time, he's been having encounters in the scripture. He's learning the voice of God, the Father speaking to him. He's becoming convinced that he is the Christ by faith. That Father is his Father. God is his Father by faith. Just as you and I, in the same process, we begin to become convinced that we are in Christ and Christ is in us. That all that God has accomplished in Christ, he has accomplished for us. All that Christ is, we are. Never apart from him, but fully in him. And that union of us in Christ is the union is the warfare over our fight of faith, as Christ's union with the Father was warred over. And if you read the gospel and watch the attack against his identity in the Father, you'll see what was being tested. And then you'll understand when you are under identity testing as to the authenticity of Jesus in your life and what he said and what he's going to do and who he is and is he that one to which you are still yielding like you did when you first began, trusting like you began, living with just enthusiasm and love. You'll know the war is to break that union. Impossible to break, but we can back away and lose our place. So he's the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth. That is such a, you could worship Jesus this week with that. You could, you know, if you ascribe to Jesus that he's a faithful witness, soon you'll become a faithful witness. If you ascribe to Jesus he's the firstborn from the dead, soon you'll be, well, you're not going to be the secondborn, but you might be the billionth born. You'll know your identity that you're born of God. And if you call him the ruler of the kings of the earth, well, then there's really no authority that you have to be too afraid of. Because he's a ruler. Nothing can happen outside of the scope of his sovereignty. We'll see that in a moment. So this is the declaration of Jesus. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. What a thanksgiving praise that ought to be all week long. Thank you for loving me and washing me from my sins in your own blood. I'm showing you how you engage in scripture. So that the scripture is not something you've just read and agree with, but something you've read and now had an experience with. And when you have an experience with scripture, it begins to formulate what is going to be known as your testimony of Jesus. What you and Jesus are in union in and what and about. And it grows and grows. And he's made us kings and priests to his God and Father. So we're in this reigning and ruling and growing in union worship's place. To him be glory and dominion forever. Amen. Then he says, behold, he is coming with clouds. And every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth. That's not just the 12 tribes of Israel. That's every nation, every people will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. Picture is such a violent breaking into humanity that's not been able or willing to receive him as Lord. Not willing to kiss the Son. And he will. There will be like, oh, I had no idea. I had no idea. If I'd only known, I would have yielded more fully, more completely trusted. I would have given you place. It's going to be overwhelming. But to those who have pursued and learned to yield and trust, it's going to be a rewarding moment. Do you understand that? Whenever God shows up, he comes with recompense and vengeance. He comes with rewards and putting things back in right order. And you want to be on the reward side, not the right order side. But you will be on both. There's no impossible that we will not all have that impact. So, even so, amen. I am the Alpha. Now Jesus begins to speak. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, both your brother and companion in tribulation and kingdom. Well, let me pause here. When you pray, it's often that you will be describing God, and then he'll step in and describe himself. That's what just happened there. This is just a vision, something anyone can have. You can't orchestrate your vision, but once you enter into it, there's no telling where it'll take you. He will take you in it. If you are learned to cooperate, have a sensitive spirit, an intentional time with the Lord. That's all Mansions is about, is restoring into the body of the believers' hearts that are his homes, so that he can inhabit a people that are living stones joined together. Once you can have that moment and you go, that's an interesting thought. You're the Alpha, the Omega. You're the Alpha, the Omega. You're the firstborn from the dead. You are the faithful witness. And you start giving him praise out of what you're reading. It's no longer him reading to you. Now you're declaring back to him. And soon your words will grow larger than the words you're just immediately reciting, because Holy Spirit will get creative. He'll be inside Scripture, but he'll be creative in the moment you need him in. I am your help in your time of trouble. I'm a strong tower. I am your defense. I will bring you victory. I will triumph. And all of a sudden, you just go with it. Give him, you see, your mouth is, your tongue is the pen of the ready writer. You paint pictures of God with your tongue. And you encounter God in dimensions of sound with your tongue and with your response. And so, and then all of a sudden, you're like John. I mean, he's having an encounter. He's writing it down. God's, now it's first God, then angel, then Jesus, then him, then it's Jesus, and now it's back to him. Do you get it? It's a conversation. I, John, both your brother and companion, in the tribulation, the and kingdom, and patience of Jesus Christ. That's who we are. We are inside a kingdom sandwiched between tribulation and patience. I was on the island. It's called Patmos. He'd been exiled. Like Napoleon, put him in a place he had no access to the world anymore. They thought they were going to shut him up and shut him down. Now we're still reading his vision. You can't be shut down or shut up if you won't shut down. And if you won't shut up. You may not be able to talk to people, but people are the most boring group. This is the one that's the most exciting. Seriously. And if you record it, people will read what you wrote. Because it's an experience. An experience with God is just like, it's never goes away. It's accessible for eternity. And you can enter into God there and re-encounter him there. So I was on the Isle of Patmos for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. The testimony of Jesus is a markable commodity. In other words, he was in trouble because of proclaiming and holding and valuing and carrying the word of God. But as much what distinguished him was that the testimony of Jesus he carried and held. And that testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy in Revelation 19 said. Our testimony is a component of overcoming the accuser. The experiences that we have that are to be fostered, nurtured, grow up into completeness is inside the presence of God. Like Abraham, in his presence, whom we believe, even God who gives life to the dead, and calls those things that do not exist as though they do. So Abraham lived in God's presence, and when he had those experiences, God would always do two things whenever you touch the presence of God. You will feel life, and you'll feel hope. Cannot come into the presence of God where life does not start to touch you, and your dead part comes alive. And most of us are trying to shut it down. I'm not going back there again. I'm going to be smarter this time. I'm not letting any of these things take over me. I am going to stay Baptist, safe. Or I will be controlled Pentecostal. I don't know. I'm just going to limit the expressions. And God's just saying, come on. Let's go play again. Let's go. I like it. Let's go. Let's get in some water and let some run. Let's have some fun. Come on. Seriously, if you were Jesus and you conquered the world and destroyed sin and are the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, everything's done, what else can you do but play? Why is he worrying? Oh, I have not had a night's sleep since Donald Trump became president. Dear God, he probably doesn't even know who's the president. You see, when you're the king, you don't really care. When you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who cares? I am Alpha Omega. And the sound that's coming from heaven is everybody heads up, kiss the Son. Kiss the Son. We don't care what place you're stuck in, just kiss the Son. Don't mean you have to change the outside to yield the inside. So, oh, this Jesus, he is, well, it's Holy Spirit that's really the partier. I mean, he's just a partier. Shows up, a big loud noise, big sound, big voice, big fire, big flames, big tongues. And the only thing people could compare it to is a big drunken party. That's why I love our worship. I love all the craziness. I love anybody doing anything as long as you don't hit somebody while you're doing it. And if you do, please say, I'm sorry. And if you get hit, please say, I forgive you. And try to, you know, we're trying to respond. I mean, people get out, you know, they're out there in the party, you know, and then they get saved. There's no freedom. He came to make you free. He came to make you free, to be enjoying your life. And even if you physically can't be free because your body is restrained, then dance inside, jump inside, shout inside. Because there's just something about what he's doing. And the Holy Spirit's just, he's just like that. Because he can get more done when we're drunk than we can when we are sober. Not drunk with wine, that's just excess. That's just dissipation. That's just wasting energy and losing your place. But when you're drunk with the Holy Spirit, you're pretty effective because you forget everything and you lose your place. And all of a sudden, you're speaking up for the Lord. And all of a sudden, miracles are happening. And all of a sudden, atmospheres are changing. And you're coming to work because you spent your time with God. And the day's lesson today, Holy Spirit came and said, it's all about joy, 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 joy. And you're joy, joy, joy. And you're in joy and you're happy. And next thing you know, you go to your work and it's all depression and discouragement. And you hear that everybody is about to have layoffs. Who's going to rule? God gave you the joy so that you could be an influencer in that moment. And not because that's that confession. Well, the Lord's called me to say enjoy. So, wow, this is exciting. This is wonderful. I wonder what's coming. Change is here. Everybody, let's celebrate. We're in change. Disruption has taken place. What is going to come of this disruption? So you see things from a different place. And God teaches you. And that's your testimony. You start to get marked by someone who's living with and being influenced by a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's a living relationship, a life-giving, vibrant. And you have to sometimes remember, oh, wait a minute, I'm in public. So you try to, but the boldness has come because of the true encounters and the Holy Spirit who empowers, and you are a witness. And that's what gets tested. So go with me to John 18. Right at the beginning where Pontius Pilate meets. This is the encounter I had. This is what comes on Thursday, Friday, Wednesday, depending on what day you want to think Jesus got crucified. Go to Israel, I found new times. Always another way. God's good about keeping us like guessing. But we celebrate he's crucified on Friday. We celebrate therefore he was at Pontius Pilate in the morning, Friday morning. And so we'll let that imagery stay there. John 18, Pilate then went out to them and said, what accusation do you bring against this man? And they answered and said, well, if he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you. That sounds like religion to me. Of course. Then Pilate said to him, well, take him and judge him according to your own law. Therefore the Jews said to him, it is not lawful for us to put anyone to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which spoke, signifying by what death he would die. You're going to learn something in the presence of God. There's only one boss. It's not you. It's nobody else either. It's Jesus. And you can trust the moment into Jesus' hands. You can go, I don't have to do something other than let God do what he's doing. He's in charge. So even though these guys think, oh, we're going to get rid of this ringleader of a sect of a Nazarenes that's messing up our true pure religion of Judaism, we're going to save the nation and her place by removing this one man. That's what they think they're doing. But actually, they're fulfilling a prophecy and a promise that Jesus said, I'm going to have to die and be crucified in the hands of sinful men. Then Pilate entered the Praetorium. Praetorium was about 10 feet above the pavement, or the Gabbatha, which is called in Hebrew. And he enters into the Praetorium, which was the courthouse. It's on the side of the western wall of the old city, not the western wall of the Temple Mount. And he goes into Jesus and says, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Now again, we're talking about holding a good confession in adversity now. And Jesus answered him and said, "Well, are you speaking for yourself, or did others tell you this concerning me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew?" He took offense at that. "Your own nation and your chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" There's five elements I want to show you about holding a confession that will keep you in agreement with Jesus and not lose your place in the next week. The first thing is you have to know that the only thing that really matters is where you hear what you hear. Where have you heard this? "Who do men say that I am?" Jesus asked. Well, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. Some would say one of the prophets. Then he says, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," Matthew 16. He said, "Well, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for you didn't get that from flesh and blood, but my Father, who's in heaven, he revealed this to you." Everything we discover about God is because Father opened our eyes to see and revealed Christ in us. Everything we discover about the Father is because Christ willed to open our eyes and reveal the Father to us. And when we're in those moments, that's life. Everything is respected. You can be the most defeated person in the earth, a pitiful life, disgusting behavior, bad breath. But because you value something that you heard and you're trying as best you can to follow the Lord and come into his presence, once you enter his presence, you are recognized by what God said to you. You are known in heaven by what God has spoken about inheritance, about calling, about who you are in the kingdom of heaven, and you're recognized there, and you have no need of no proof on the earth. There's no need of proof because we walk by faith, not by sight. But the hell wants you to be bound in sight and to give up your faith. So here we are. What have you done? So he's asking Pilate, "You know, well, did you get this? Are you part of the, am I supposed to minister to you right now?" Seriously. A believer who lives from heaven and life in relationship with Jesus Christ is always listening to, where's the conversation coming from? Are you, Pilate, looking for some help? Did you get this? He actually was told by his wife, "Hey, don't get involved with this man. He's a righteous man." Well, Jesus answered, here's the second part of your confession. You've got to know what kingdom you're representing in the moment. "My kingdom's not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, but my kingdom is not of this world, they would fight, so I would not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Oh, that's... In Luke, Jesus is confronted in one of his meetings with two believers, their followers, and one piped up and said, "Master, make my brother share the inheritance with me." And Jesus looked at him and said, Who made me a ruler and judge over this?" See, some of our prayers aren't getting answered because we're trying to get God to divide kingdoms that he could care less about. He only is concerned about his kingdom, and if it's about his kingdom, his servants will fight. If it's not about his kingdom, they may just let it be as it is to be. That's how I can say that if you were to suffer wrong, best thing to do is just forgive. Don't go to court and try to get it proven, because then you're just acting like people. So you've actually lost because you acted like a man, when you could have won by releasing and just letting him go. That's for Corinthians, right? So the conflict, the contest is, you got to know what kingdom you're representing and what kingdom is being challenged. The kingdom that Jesus is a part of is not being challenged by him being in Pontius Pilate's Praetorium. In fact, it's on assignment to be there. See, some of us go into situations in life that we've been sent on assignment to go to, and we're trying to get out of them because we have no bearing. We have no inner life. We have no eternal place of enjoyment. Pilate therefore said, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, And for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. It's so powerful. This is his good confession. This will be ours in like manner. You've got to know what you're carrying. You've got to know why you came. You got to know your reason for being on the planet. You say, I wish I knew. Well, you can. It came inside of the promises. It came inside of quietness and presence and listening, trying to listen, learning to listen. But when he starts to speak, you start to know who you are. And if you know who you are, then you know why you're here. And if you know why you're here, then you know what you're supposed to be doing. And Jesus said, I'm only here to do one thing. I'm supposed to bear witness to the truth. And everyone who is of the truth will hear my voice, because truth will always hear truth. And the truth is Jesus Christ. And the truth is man cannot live apart from God. And the lie is man can be separate from God and live. The lie is that I can rise up and be like God, or I can eat of the tree and be like God. The truth is if I eat of the tree, I die. If I try to be like God, I die. I am not a self-sufficient power source. At best, I'm a rechargeable battery. And really, I'm no longer even charging my battery. I just stay plugged in. Just carry the long extension cord, you know, through the day. Do you understand? You are not able. Oh, I'm going to be a great husband. Well, you're going to really screw that up. Well, I'm going to be a businessman like no other businessman with integrity. And you'll probably go into bankruptcy. I'm not cursing you. I'm just telling you the vows you make to wow God will be your humble pie to restore you to God. Like Peter. Everybody, they may all deny you, but not me. I'm a fisherman and I got a knife. He said, Peter, you are going to have such a good evening. You're going to get so fearful, so disoriented, so disrupted. You'll lose your relationship with me. You'll curse that I ever, you'll deny you ever knew me, and you'll curse like a sailor to try to convince people that there's no possible way you ever did know me. And that's what he does. You'll curse, you will deny me three times before morning. Why? Because Satan demanded to test him because he was living on a willful relationship with God. And I thank God for the will. The will initiates a conversion. It starts a journey, but it cannot sustain it or complete it. You can say, I want to go where Jesus goes, but you'll not go with him until he takes you there. And you'll go through the door of forgiveness, not through the door of righteousness. Do you understand? The door of righteousness is stinky rags. It's locker room smell. Humanity trying to be good. It's not who God is. He came to deliver us to himself through forgiveness, by being our salvation, by taking upon himself our sinfulness and being raised in our justification and our union in that place. So it's just huge. The truth, Jesus Christ, to undo the lie, self. Self-righteousness, self-awareness, self-goodness, self. Stinky self. Don't get me wrong. Yourself is beautiful. Your soul, your suke, is a beautiful, brilliant, masterpiece drawing of heaven. But it's been polluted in the fear of death. You're freaking out all the time. How many haven't worried this year yet? This year, yeah. I've already worried this morning, right? Why do I worry? Because I'm afraid I'm going to die in some form. I've got to protect something, do something. Did I lock the door? Why are you afraid you locked the door? Well, somebody might steal my goods. You know, it's fear, 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 fear. And God's saying, I came to dismantle that by you just giving access of your soul back to me. And yes, I wasn't impressed and I wasn't expecting you to do well. I just need you to know me. Know me here. And he's saying, I'm here to bring this truth. And anyone who's in it, you hear it. You know, when you know you can't do it, you hear God saying, I can do it for you. When you think you're supposed to do it, you can't hear God's going to do it for you. Self-righteousness is the enemy of forgiveness. The only way forgiveness can flow freely is all must be sinful. So if I spend my life trying to live right, which I should do, but if I do it from self, which I will do, then I will have no tolerance for somebody blessed who just screwed everything up and they get a new Cadillac. I have no tolerance for that kind of silly stuff. Because I'm living in Moses, not in Jesus. And that is a scary thing, because that's what self-righteous does. You become the elder brother sitting out there in the field. I'm always in the nursery. Nobody asks me. I come to the stage and talk about how great God is. And then all it takes is one person. Ladies and gentlemen, we want to introduce to you this friend of ours who was just re-gloriously returned to the Lord, and God has put him in a new marriage. They screwed the other one up. I'm sorry I'm using the word screw so much. I'm getting into the humanity point of us. No, I'm fine. I'm trying to help you. And all it takes is to see that sinful, backslidden, divorcee, get a new wife, new kids, new car, new house, good job, lots of money, and they get to be a preacher. And you and I go, something's wrong with that. Yeah, it's Jesus. He just doesn't know how to forgive without restoring glory. If you can't restore glory, you haven't forgiven. Therefore, it's like pretty huge. And you can't restore glory unless somebody paid the price for the evil that was done that needed judgment. So someone greater than you has to pay the price of the judgment due someone else. For you to welcome the person out of judgment and not have to pay for the judgment is due them. That is huge. That is like, we're getting ready to go to London, and you know, one of our things we take the team to is go see Les Mis. It's a story of redemption that just rock your world, because it's like extremes shown in this musical of people. And you have illegitimacy will make you prove you're right. And pride is a substitute for righteousness. And if you're trying to prove you're right, you'll grow in pride. And when you're in that place, you will not have tolerance for forgiveness, because you cannot be forgiven. And if it was about forgiveness, then your whole world doesn't make sense. It's just huge. And so Jesus will just trip you up and offend you and make you have a trouble with everybody, because he's not looking for righteous people getting to heaven. The Son of Man did not come to call the righteous, but the sinner to repentance. If you're not a sinner, then there's no, you don't even have, get this message, doesn't even make any sense. But if you're a sinner and you know you need a Savior, whoa, I love this message. But if I try to live for God for a while, then I get frustrated. My little brother took off. It made me do twice the work. The dude, he's just a turkey. You know, he takes off and he goes to Las Vegas and he's just out there snorting coke, living with prostitutes, tattoos everywhere. Oh, God, I hate this bro. But I'm a good brother, taking care of my dad. Dad's so hurt by his son's loss. One day he come home and there's a party. Party, party. What? What's up? Oh, your brother came home from Las Vegas. He's broke, but he's home. And your dad's so happy. He killed the fatted calf and he put a robe on him and he's got a new ring and sandals, and we're having a whole day. It's a day off, party. And his twitch starts. Does not compute, cannot relate, cannot make this sense. This is it, that's it. And so he shuts down. And finally, he cannot be good. See, some of us can be good so long. That's why we do something so stupid, to find out we're not good. Better to find out early. Best to do it in your prayer closet. So his dad comes out of the party, leaves the party. Son, what's up? All these years, I've served you. Heat of the day, all day long, taking care of business, and you haven't given me anything. I've never got anything. I mean, it just work. And this son of yours comes home, and what do? You kill the fatted calf, and you have a party, and he's left, wasted your goods on just his living, his lifestyle. And the father says, son, I am always with you, and everything I have is yours. That's either true or not. Today, if I was to apply that, which I am applying this, to learn Jesus, I hear Jesus say to Steve, Steve, you are always with me. And everything I have is yours. So what I say, Jesus, you are always with me. And everything you have is mine. Diana, please come up. Then I hear the Lord say to me, Steve, you are in me. And I am in you. Then I say, Jesus, I am in you. And you are in me. We are one. Then I look at my pauper lifestyle and I say, Jesus, I am tired of living a pauper. And Jesus looks at me and says, you are not a pauper. I'm tired of feeling like all I do is work and get nothing. You're not a slave. Then I say, Jesus, I am not a slave. I am a son. And you are my brother. I am in you. And who you have become in the resurrection, I am and becoming in you. And then I say, tired of not being able to access the heavenly realm of all the resource and riches of God, then Jesus says, I, my Papa, will supply all your need according to his riches in glory by and in me. And then I say, Jesus, I now access the riches that are in the glory that are in you. And I now connect my poverty, my lack, and my debt to the riches that are in the glory that are in you. And then I think, he says, all things, any man is in me, he's a new creation. So I say, I am a new creation. All things are new. So then I say, Lord, I am a new creation and all things are new and I am in you. And then I think, if I'm in you, what about my stuff? Your stuff's in me too. What about my kids? They're there too. You say, well, they're growing up making their own decisions. Yeah, but did I give you promises? Promises are promises. Here am I, the children you've given me, were for signs and wonders in Israel. How about my debt? You know, I was trying to do good. I really can't justify it even if I wanted to. Well, are you in me? Did you lose everything? I'll take it. Okay, Jesus, you're in. I am in you. My debt's in you. My children are in you. My grandkids are in you. Every promise you've ever made over me, to me, through me is in you. We're one. What I'm doing is I'm abiding in Jesus. His words are starting to abide in me. The union is becoming one. Practiced over time, you will be like a good actor, not a hypocrite. A hypocrite is a different story. An actor is someone who internalizes a role that is not theirs from their own origin, but is given to them by a script. They are given a character by a script. They're told how to be. They've internalized the character. They've read the script. They know the lines. And then they go out and they become that person. The beauty is we do not have righteousness. We do not have life. We have nothing from ourselves we're supposed to bring to God. Instead, we're given the script. We're given life. And if we internalize these words, they start to become what we act. So I say, Jesus, I am your dwelling place, a house you built. My children, my family, Jubilee Church, every sovereign promise, every commission of God is yours, in you. Inside of glory, inside of riches, all the employment, all things needed are now being met by you. I'm in you. And you are in me. That's what you promised. I want us to sing that simple song, I am in you, and you're in me, and we will be together forever. And we'll close the day. Maybe you can stand with me. Something happened. I didn't get to finish the message. Jesus is here, joining you to himself. Joining you to himself. Go ahead, Diana.
I together.
Yeah.
Forever.
You're in.
I am yours.
Yes. Oh, the healing.
You are mine. We'll be together. I'm in you, and you're in me, and we'll be together forever.
I'm in you.
I'm in you.
You're in me,
Lord, and you're in me, and we'll be together forever. I'm in you.
What a joy, what a gift.
And you want me. And we'll be together forever.
Now, right before, there's a move of the Holy Spirit to link broken connections inside of our souls. Submitted, resubmitting to the sovereignty of Jesus, kissing the Son. Letting restoration start again. Where breaches and broken promises, trauma and drama, things that have shifted and lifted, left us desolated, there's a breath of fresh air. There's a remittance of all sin, done and done and done to you. There's a new thought and an open door of communion.
I'm in you, you're in me.
Whatever he says to you, say it back to him. Whatever promises you're hearing come alive again, say it back to him. Whatever you know of him, say it to him. It's your confession of hope. This is a union, communion moment. Identity is being reconnected, collected. You are blessed. Your Father loves you through Jesus Christ. The Father sees Jesus Christ when he sees you. Jesus stands for you in the presence of Papa in the face. And you're in Jesus standing before the Father in the presence. We're one by what he's done. Not our righteousness, his.
I am at home in you. And you are at home inside of me. I'm yours. You're mine.
Yes. Yes.
We'll be.
He's accepting you. Completely welcomes you
forever
through his Son in Christ.
I am yours.
Come home.
So you are mine.
Leave the questions out the outside.
We'll be
the issues you still want resolved.
Forever. I'm in you.
Oh, how good it is to be in you.
And you're in me.
We'll be together. Yes.
Forever.
Inseparable.
I'm in you, God. And you're in me. We'll be together forever.
Your praise.
Nothing can separate me from your love. Nothing can separate me from your love, God.
Oh, let it. The Holy Spirit's going to pour love in us right now.
Nothing can separate me from your love.
Open the container of your heart. Here he full pours.
Nothing can separate me from your love. Nothing can separate you from my love. It's everlasting. Nothing can separate you from my love.
Oh, drink.
You're
receive
in me
his love.
And I'm in you. Nothing can separate you from my love.
Yes, Lord.
No, nothing.
We hear you. We hear you.
Nothing can separate you from my love.
Now let's sing it back to him.
Nothing can separate me from your love.
See, we're singing back to him.
I'm in you and you're in me. Nothing can separate me from your love.
God.
Forever and yeah. ever.
Nothing can separate me from your love.
Nothing and no one.
Nothing can separate me from your love.
I am yours.
Yes. Yeah.
You are mine. We'll be.
This is what he thinks of
together.
You.
Together. Forever.
This is our focus. He dismantles everything else.
I am yours.
Truth begins to break down lies.
You are mine.
Self no longer feels so responsible.
We'll be
and we start
together.
Trusting again, and childlike. We
forever,
go, yeah.
Because I am yours.
All of
it. You are mine.
All of it. All of it.
We'll be together. Forever, I am yours. Don't you know
okay.
that you
yeah.
are mine? And we'll be together forever.
In my heart, I believe that elder brother, when he heard the story and the promise of his daddy, something broke in him and he softened up and he said, you know, didn't really ask me to do all that. It was fear that made me do all that. I want to come home. I'm going to come home too. And before he went into the party to celebrate his brother's return, he grabbed hold of his dad. His dad grabbed hold of him and they wept because he had received a second son home that day. Son of his love who had served him so well but never could understand love now was surrendering to love to serve from a new place. And that day, there was a party, and heaven rejoiced, and brothers rejoiced, and each could forgive and let go because each had been given a gift that neither of them earned or deserved. Acceptance, sonship through their Father. Lord, seal us today as we go in these moments, in this discovery. And Holy Spirit, you who know us so perfectly well, come alongside and interpret for us our own journey, the uniqueness of where we are, how you're molding us. I keep hearing the word welding us, connecting us to make us one in Christ. Let it be this whole passionate week, this Passover week. And may we gather on your resurrection day, Easter. May there be true births that have taken place within our own lives, renewals of our own hearts. A celebration of forgiveness in our own heart, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Nations, thank you so much. Yes, thank you.